I'm joined by a fullback and an author, a fullback for the Dolphins. He played previously for the Raiders. He's a proud member of the Badger Nation. You know, I'm always going to put a member of the Badger Mafia on. He is now an author. He is a motivational speaker. He is Alec Ingold. Alec, it is good to see you, my man. How you doing?
It's good to sit down. There's a lot of hyphens you just pulled out there, man.
Right?
It's a lot.
Yeah, but understandably so. Dude, did you – I know you went with a broken thumb this year. We can get to that in a minute. When did you have surgery?
Yeah, so I just had it yesterday. Got the hardware out. Christmas Day, we're playing the Packers, hometown team. I'm going to break a thumb. My whole family's there. We're trying to open presents. It's like, I can't. I'm in a sling. And then we just clubbed it up the rest of the year and let it rip.
All right, dude, so you had surgery yesterday. Was there any part of you, even with the release of your new book, The Seven Crucibles, where you're like, hey, man, I just got cut on again. I just had surgery. I'm not going out there.
No, it's opportunity of a lifetime getting to sit down with you, man. I think I grew up listening to talk radio, listening to you, you know, traveling from Green Bay to Michigan State or whatever football camp was at the time. So, you know, you taught me and my dad how to love the sport, how to listen to the sport.
That's incredible. Do you mean that?
I swear, it's a full circle moment for me, for real.
I appreciate you. I really appreciate that respect. You tell Pops I said what's up, right?
I will.
Dude, so what the broken thumb thing, I want to say this. You went out, you taped it up. You went out there and played with a broken thumb, and I think it's more than just availability is your best ability, dude. I think there's a lot more to it. That's big. But what put you back on that field? What was the impetus that put you on that field to play like that?
I think it's the setting the tone for the whole team. And we were sliding at the time. We're losing a bunch of games. And it's like, okay, if I'm trying to be a leader, if I'm trying to be a guy here, if I want to like set the tone for what number 30 means to the Dolphins right now, let's strap up and bring that physicality, keep it for this playoff push, and bring guys around you, right? Like that accountability factor, if I can push through it, everyone else can push through it. And we all just pushed through to the end. That week 18 game against the Jets was massive. Getting up to go to Buffalo on the road, on the ropes, last second, you know, we end up losing by three, but the grittiness of that team was awesome. I really wanted to be a part of it.
And by the way, not every team is like that, right? You've played the game your entire life. You assume that it's the NFL. It's always like that. It's not, is it?
No, and it's crazy to see people check out right at the end of the year, and that's just nothing we were doing. And you're on a five-game losing streak, and you're going to say no one was checking out? Like, that's what the type of guys we had, and it's a young team. But we have young leaders, and we have guys that stepped up, and yeah, I mean, it's contagious. It's like an infection. If some guy's pushing through, everyone else is going to.
That's interesting. And if some guys are checking out, that's also contagious and, in this case, infectious. I said to Jamal Williams, man, like, when you guys started 1-6, and by the way, that's a different dude with amazing energy. Like, that was what are your thoughts on Jamal?
I mean, he scored, I think, two or three times when we played him. And I remember watching, like, we were watching tape against the Lions. We're like, this is a good football team. We're 1-4, 1-5. They're like, don't buy into that noise. Like, they can play ball now. And I remember they went right down the field, opening drive. Ford Field is electric. He ends up capping it off. He's dancing in the end zone. Everyone's going nuts. I'm like, yeah, we're gonna have ourselves a little dogfight here.
You just nailed that. It's an amazing football town. But the point that you made about how guys check out, I said, Jamal, at 1-6, you guys could have been 1-2-3 Cancun.
Mm-hmm.
And he thought that was funny. He kind of laughed at that. I'm like, yeah, but it's not funny, right? Because guys do check out.
Yeah.
Guys do check out. Let me ask you this. Like, the book, The Seven Crucibles, which I have right here, and I'm really fascinated by this because you could wait till the end of your career to write that book. The impetus for the book is amazing. Like, I don't think everybody knows your story.
Right.
So let me start by setting this thing up. You were working your plan. You were planning your work. You were killing it. Like, it was all setting up. It was all coming to fruition. And then in a single moment, it all went away, or it could have. Back me up on this. Set the story up for us. What happened?
Yeah, I mean, I think you're an undrafted cat, and you're trying to make a team. And you go through 3 years of giving your blood, sweat, and tears to an organization. You're excited. I'm a team captain now, Walter Payton Man of the Year nominee, Pro Bowl alternate. Like, you're building yourself up
from
to this.
An undrafted player.
In 3 years. You're getting to this mountaintop in the fullback profession, let's say. And you're a team captain. You're covering a punt against the Chiefs on Sunday Night Football, right? Shock shed. I'm covering downfield. Plant. Knee goes this way, body goes that way. A snap of a finger. It's like the uncertainty, the adversity, everything is just shaken. Like, my life is upside down. I'm in a contract year. We have an interim head coach at the time. Like, nobody knows what's going on. I'm carted off the field. I'm crying, right? Everyone's like, oh, your knee must have, like, really hurt when that happened. I was like, it was all emotions. It was all emotionally I was distraught. I had no idea what was going to happen. So Derek Carr brought me to the side. He's like, listen, man. We're going to need you to just do what you need to do for tonight. but tomorrow you're going to have to decide how you're going to attack this rehab. And it was like the whole thing of the book is embracing this change, controlling what you can control. Whatever life throws at you, you have the courage and the conviction to respond the way you need to respond. So I'm journaling, I'm getting these emotions out, turns into a book, and it's a life book. It's stories in the NFL, it's stories of life, it's stories of adversity, breaking ribs, whatever it is, and how you respond to it. Whatever life throws at you is really where your power is.
This book is called The Seven Crucibles. Al Kingold is the author and my guest right now. Does it come down to this, man? Is life not a choice? I mean, like, a million different choices. But ultimately, is it not one big choice? Like, you choose to be disciplined. You choose to be successful. You choose your attitude. We're not born with these things. We're not predisposed to these things. Are these not things that we choose to do?
And it doesn't get easier. That's the thing. Like, you choose to be a diligent, hard work, mindful, deliberate dude one day. It's not going to get easier tomorrow. It's a choice every single day. And yeah, life doesn't change. Embracing the suck, embracing adversity, that doesn't change. The blueprint doesn't change. There's no secret answers, right? It's just getting up, doing the work, taking another step forward. And if you're 9 months into an ACL rehab, that can get a little repetitive, a little redundant, but it's what got me back on the field playing with the Dolphins, making some plays happen this year.
I tried to get into this a little bit earlier, but like rehab, guys do not understand. I think fans are desensitized to you guys getting hurt. Like, everybody gets hurt, and then they go away, and then they come back in a few months if they're lucky. But we don't know what goes on in those few months, man. It is lonely, right?
It's
painful.
Lonely.
It's lonely. What's harder, the physical part of rehab or the mental and emotional part of rehab?
It's definitely the mental and emotional. It's the alignment of everything, right? Like, being able to be aligned in your rehab, in your process, having a routine that's different. You're waking up earlier so that you can still go into meetings. You can still stay checked in. So when that comeback happens, you didn't lose all of your football knowledge. You know, there's so many little things to it, but yeah, that rehab is tough, man.
Dude, what about doubt? What about the doubt, the insecurity? When they come banging on that door and they try to get inside your head and you know they don't serve you, right? What do you do with that stuff?
I mean, it's a mindset of embracing it, understanding that it's going to be a part of this whole journey. And being able to look at yourself in the mirror, own it, own your past, own your present, own where you're at, own where your feet are, and determine what your purpose is, what your future is, what you're going to accomplish, and truly believe it, can be convicted with it, have a support system, have my dad to be able to call up, and he's like, hey man, I'm listening to Jim Rowe, I'm like, can I call you back? I'm on my way home from work. You know, that type
of thing.
Your
dad did not say that to you, man.
If your
old man ever picked me in the show over you, man, then he'd be the best dad ever, not. That's really funny. Like, the seven crucibles then, Al, is that a playbook for life, literally, that you could drop on anybody and say, hey, man, run that playbook. You can run that playbook for your life and have success. Was that the plan?
There's seven plays there, and it's life. It's not, you know, we have football examples, and it's a sports, you know, that's my life, that's my testimony, that's what I know. But it can be anything. If you get fired from your job, if you don't get that promotion, whatever you're going through in life, whether you're a kid, a high school kid, an adult, it can really serve you.
I'm sorry to jump in. I was going to say, that's a great point. I was going to say, everybody's going through something. They don't always verbalize it. You can't tell me that there's not somebody. Everybody in this room is going through something right now. If somebody is going through something right now and they feel like they're fighting a losing battle and they're in a rut, they're not feeling good about themselves, they can't take action, their energy's bad, what would you tell that person?
Man, we're all going through it. Just like you said, that relatability factor. And having the courage to take one step, that first step, that's the scariest one. But once you take it, the second step's a little easier, and then you start figuring it out. So there's a lot of those messages, those leading questions that kind of get you introspective a little bit and make you reflect in the mirror a little bit. It's going to be cool to see people read that book, have some reaction to it, take that first step, be a little catalyst for them to move forward.
The book is called The Seven Crucibles. Before I let you go, can they get that book wherever they get their books, or where should they get the book?
Literally anywhere. So it published yesterday. So you go to Barnes & Noble, it might have it, Amazon.com. AlecKingold.com, you can get it there.
You know what I think? I think it's more than, you know, developing a new habit. We're talking about a complete lifestyle. We're talking about a complete mindset. We're talking about a complete identity. We're talking about going all in, right? That's what it takes to be successful and to be happy with yourself, essentially, I think.
Yeah, going all in on yourself is huge. Being able to bet on yourself, you know, I think as a football player, you're playing high-stakes poker. You know, the highs are high, the lows are low. And being able to stay consistent, be able to embody everything that's in that book, be able to embody everything about each and every person's journey, there's a whole lot more that brings us together than tears us apart. And I think that's what's really cool about this
book. Good for you. Really quickly, what about Mike McDaniel? I got to ask you about this cat, man. Like, he... This guy's fascinating to me, right? What is his strongest attribute? Is it his ability to scheme? Is it his play calling? Is it his ability to connect with and relate to his players? Like, what makes this guy so good and so different?
Can I give you two?
Please.
All right.
You can give me eight.
Yeah,
give me ten.
I might not give you the
seven crucibles of McDaniel.
I'm going to start with the way he can describe the plays that he draws up, right? Like the installs, the offensive coordinator hat that he has to put on every once in a while, like for him to sit down and explain an entire concept and be like, okay, you have to do this job and this is tied into this guy, right? And everything has a reason. He's like, I'm going to tell you this is the depth you need to get and this is why.
Like he's got a beautiful mind.
Beautiful mind. And he breaks it down to the most simplest form, right? So that you understand it, you can embody it, and you're like, okay, I'm going to get my depth here. I'm going to run at this timing because I know someone else is counting on
me. So now if this guy has no it, right? If he's got no it, no charisma, no personality, would that in and of itself be enough? Or does it work because this dude is like, he's kind of like this super cool nerd.
Yeah. No, I think the relatability factor adds something to it. I think being able to lead a group of guys, being able to sit down with somebody and coach you to your potential. That's what he's amazing at. That's what I love. Like he sits down, he's like, man, I got 10 plays here that you've from the past 3 years, these are your best plays. This is how you're going to play for the rest of the year. And I feel like that's really cool to have.
Well,
that
as an
standard.
Athlete, you love anybody that can help make you better, right? That's what you want.
Yeah.
And believes in you.
Yeah.
And believes in you.
That's all you need. And I feel like to have that positivity, to have that potential on the line, that's the standard. He's going to coach you. All right, now that's the standard I'm going to play to.
All right, so last thought, you're a Badger, and I'm proud of you for being a Badger. Our oldest son, Jake, is graduating this year from Wisconsin. My wife, Janet, right now is en route to our home in the North Woods in Eagle River.
Ooh.
She left Cali this morning.
That's amazing.
Dude, it looks cold, but it is amazing. It is amazing. What was the Wisconsin experience like for you? The college experience, football, academics, Madison, the whole thing.
I think it's unbelievable. And the amount of diversity in that place, right? You're in between two lakes. It's an isthmus. Is that a word? It's in between two lakes. It's something like that. It's beautiful in the summertime. Fall time, it's jump around. You're playing for Big Ten titles. Wintertime, it's freezing cold, right? But there's still the charisma. There's the energy around that city. It's a city. It's a college town all in one. That's my recruiting pitch, I guess, to anybody going to Wisconsin.
Dude,
it's beautiful.
My thing was, my son, I've told the story, but he had it in his head, I'm going to NYU. I'm going to NYU. I'm like, first of all, you've never been to New York City. Second of all, the city will always be there. You have your whole life to live in the city.
Yeah.
Find a college town. I've never, ever met one person who went to Madison that didn't love Madison. It's like undefeated. In the history of the world, the universals, sex is undefeated, Father Time is undefeated, Madison's undefeated. Nobody has ever lost. Everybody loves it. It always lived up to hype. One last thought. Jonathan Taylor came on earlier. I said, what was your reaction to Luke Fickell getting that job? And what do you think about what you've heard and seen from him so far? What do you think?
Juice.
Right?
Juice.
Serious juice.
Everywhere. Like, the recruiting. I don't know if you've seen the guys walk into the facility now. They're doing jump around while they walk in. Like, there's energy there. There's excitement. It's cool to see the blend of the guys that have been there, that held the rope, that, you know, finished the year on a win at a bowl game. Like, that's tough to do with the interim coach, with Coach Leonard running it. And then to see all the recruits coming in, all the transfer portal guys, it seems like it's a match made in heaven. I think that Chris McIntosh did an amazing job there.
An amazing hire. And I want to, for the record, I want to say two things. One, an amazing hire. Mm-hmm. Big swing. Outside the family, amazing hire. I love Jim Leonard. I really do. I'm a big Jim Leonard guy. I love Jim Leonard. I just think that if you could get Luke Fickell, dude, and you can pull this trigger, you got to do it.
Jim Leonard taught me how to watch film. Like a defensive guy. Like I'm coming up to him, like I don't know how to watch film. I'm trying to figure this out, and he's breaking things down for us. The way that he could coach ball, get his players in a spot to execute and just play fast. And you've seen his defenses. He's going to be landing on his feet somewhere for sure. And it's like, it's kind of a bittersweet deal.
Yeah, it's good, right? Exactly. I think the whole Badger family was kind of like, we love Jim Leonard.
Yes.
But if you can get Luke Fickell, he's a special guy. One last thought. We've covered a lot of ground, yo. One last thought. When you got to Miami, that is not an easy offense, I would imagine, to learn. There's a lot of motion. There's a lot of movement, even as a guy with a Wisconsin education. Dude, when you first got into that, was your head spinning?
So I didn't get the OTAs, right?
Okay. Like,
so I'm with the knee. I'm doing training rehab at 6 a.m. Everyone else is having a nice breakfast. They're just watching me die on the field, right? Like just crawling back, sweat, everything. We get into training camp, and I'm trying to do like simple motions before the snap, and I'm messing everything up. And the timing's off, everything like that. I had to grab Tua and Connor Williams. I'm like, guys, I'm freaking out. I need to learn how to do this. Stayed after practice, tried to get it down. And it's like literally day one, have to go through. It's that intricate, that detailed.
It is, which you can imagine would make it really tough on a defense. The book is called The Seven Crucibles, an inspirational game plan for overcoming adversity in your life. Alec Ingold is the author and a fullback for the Dolphins. The book is out right now. You should get it. Alec, I was looking forward to it. You smashed it. Great to have you on. Tell Pops I said what's up.
I will.
Good luck with that book. We'll have you on the Reinvention Project, too.
Let's do it. I appreciate it. Thanks for the time.
Man. Great talking to you. All right. When we come back, more from the road. That was fun. Get the book. Really easy read, really powerful information.